What's going on with dance and stuff? What's happening with dance and things? What's going on? What's happening? What's going on with dance and stuff?
It sounds really windy where you are. Are you in your apartment?
Oh, let me turn off my fan. Everyone keeps saying that. They're like, are you outside?
It's really like, it sounds like a flag. Like when the wind blows through the flag.
I literally just sit right in front of it. Even though today is not so hot.
It's cold upstate.
Normal?
It's like 60 degrees.
Oh, that's not, heaven. Heaven.
I'm not ready for fall.
It's not fall, don't worry. But I love fall compared to summer. Summer is yuck.
I think I totally disagree.
I know you love hot.
I love hot. And the older I get, the more I'm like, I love hot and humid.
I know. You also like thrive health-wise and emotionally in the heat.
I literally do. I'm absolutely like, wee. And then fall hits and I'm like, oh, God.
Oh, no. I feel very discombobulated by the heat. Here's two nice things about summer.
Oh, okay.
Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
The days are long.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yes. And the other thing is that there's nobody in New York City. And I also like that.
I also like that. Is that a cricket?
Yeah, I have crickets.
That is so, can you imagine you are in Manhattan and there's the sound of crickets?
Well, it is. I mean, when you look out my window,
you see
Le Jardin.
You see like some maybe old corpse person doing a knitting. Wasn't that what you saw last week?
Oh, that was scary. Yes,
I know, it really scared you. You were almost murdered in your own hallway.
You see beautiful gardens of two rich townhouses on Charlton Street, brownstones. But if you look a little bit up, if you raise your gaze and the blinds are up high enough, you see full tall office buildings in the background that have now been built a bit south of here. Can you imagine?
What are they?
Well, I know that it's like the offices of makeup companies, like I believe MAC Cosmetics.
Oh, I would love to be a spokesperson for MAC. Remember
okay,
lip glass?
Well, I'm going to try to keep screaming up to those windows and hopefully one day they'll say, what's going on down there? And then they'll investigate.
Give them my number.
Say, my friend Jack Ferver wants to do lip ad campaigns for you.
Oh, my God. Lip gloss was all the rage. I remember when I first...
What is that?
Well, I first discovered lip gloss when I had graduated Interlochen and was now living in New York City. I was 18 and I took they got on the Metro North to go visit Courtney Krantz and Conrad Lum at Sarah Lawrence.
Gorgeous.
Whilst there, there was a dance party and Laurel, is it Snyder?
From Trisha Brown?
Yeah. We were going to, I think she had lip gloss, which was this, what would you call that? It's not lipstick and it's not a balm.
Gloss.
Gloss, exactly.
Lip gloss is lip gloss.
It is, but it's so thick and shiny that when you put it on your lips literally just look like a perfect piece of pink plastic. Like,
oh.
It eliminates any, like, wrinkle or texture
yes.
at all from your lips. And so they just, because it all just gets filled in and it's covered with schlack.
Well, I'd imagine at that age, Jack, you had very little in the way of wrinkle and texture on your lips.
But you know how all lips don't lips have like a texture to them.
Not mine. No, not mine.
All lips, you know, like when you draw a lip, you draw like little lines on it, you know?
It's true.
So that's gone with lip gloss.
I love that. I mean, was it uncomfortable?
I don't know, but like that's never a good question to ask me.
Right.
Because I'm kind of
you're not
like,
in touch with that.
I'm not in touch with that. Do you know about QAnon?
QAnon are like conspiracy theorist right-wing people, correct?
I can't believe you know about this.
I mean, I feel that's a word that's been around for some time. And in my mind, it's synonymous with that game like Quark, where the thing jumps up the steps.
Yeah. Well, I do. When people say it, when people bring up QAnon, only one person has ever said it to me.
I mean, they were you like, must think they, about they, Al-Anon.
Oh, sure, sure. I actually, what I also see is a game that starts with the letter Q.
Uh-huh.
But I thought it was a board game, but maybe it is Quark and it is the thing that jumps up the steps.
Well, I mean, it might also I didn't know about it.
It's
QAnon.
It's like a conspiracy theorist that believes that, like, Oprah Winfrey and Tom Hanks are pedophile cannibals.
Yeah.
And that everything is controlled by the deep state. I mean, it's really, it's so, I love just the stories that people think about. And I've been thinking so much after our last conversation about Kellyanne Conway and my true kind of hats off to her in terms of really keeping the mystery, really not letting us know what's going on. The thing with Kaylee now, her daughter, it's like all three of them now, her husband, Kellyanne, and now her daughter, all have a career in some kind of like fight against at-home politics that may or may not be true.
Jack, I will campaign for you to star as her in the movie.
Well, you know, I was thinking how when Donald Trump was elected, that was my big, that I did all those posts about, like, I've been cast by Ryan Murphy. I remember doing a post on Facebook about, like, how excited I was that I was cast as Kellyanne Conway in a Ryan Murphy miniseries called, because at this point she had also said, you know, when you work for the Trump campaign, you just walk around with these gaping, seeping wounds all the time.
Uh-huh.
And so I put on Facebook, I'm so excited I've been cast as
Kellyanne Conway.
Kellyanne Conway and the Gaping, Seeping Wounds of Kellyanne Conway by Ryan Murphy, blah, blah, blah. And people were like, that's amazing.
I mean, it's not so hard to believe. Like that one, I'm like, that makes perfect sense. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, it's
Ryan
sort of
Murphy,
like,
Ryan Murphy, paging Ryan Murphy, like paging Mac and Ryan Murphy. Like, absolutely. Sign me up.
Oh, it'd be so good. I feel like it's inevitable at this point that there's going to be some kind of television or film content about Anne Rice, the made-up congresswoman that Charles Rogers invented who looks like Steve Buscemi.
Wait, what is her name?
I think it's Anne. It can't be Anne Rice, can it?
It can't be. No, no.
That's the vampire lady, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely, absolutely. We have to look it up.
Okay, wait, what is it? It's Anne something.
Anne Ranch.
I knew it was Anne a food. Ranch. I knew
Anne,
it was a
Senator Anne Ranch.
Oh, she's a senator.
Yeah.
Senator wow.
Anne Ranch. Yeah. That, I mean, she's not. It's a full fictitious character that is like a kind of incredibly photoshopped face.
I know. What a beautifully devised joke.
It is really something. I mean,
that has taken effort. The creative search party literally had to spend time with his post people in order to make this happen or something. I don't understand.
Charles Rogers, iconic. He is a real iconic queen.
True.
And he really invented a really sort of incredible character around a certain political tone deafness that exists in this country and in the age of social media. But Kellyanne Conway is a real, I really hope that, I hope it comes to pass. I'm obsessed with her. The more I think about it, the more I think of just the full postmodernism of her, of alternative facts and, it's interesting. I read this really great, or I found great article about her being actually a liberal left invention. Yeah, it was an opinion piece about how alternative facts is also this such a liberal left notion of kind of always being able to play the other side of something. When we sort of think about, well, that's structurally made, or that might be true, but this other day, this other thing is true. And in this way, I think something that is really, that I I think has been well documented, the kind of what's in fashion for the Liberal Party at the moment. It reminds me when you were talking about the values of the right, and I was like, what values? And it was, and actually, I think it's true. And actually, I think the values of the right stay really pretty consistent.
Well, they are very oddly determined that nothing changed since, you know, 1920 or 1905. So something's happened to these people. Something happened to them when they were a child or in school. They were made to feel incredibly insecure about their intellect, or they were bullied for being different. Something happened to them that they feel and they can't see logic. You know what I mean? It's impossible.
Are you talking about the right or about the left?
The right. The right. Oh, okay. Right. Because it's impossible for them to see that what they're doing now is exactly what people like them were doing, you know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, when they weren't allowing black people to go to school, things like that. So when they're
absolutely those parts. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when they're like saying that, you know, queer, gay culture, queer values are going to ruin the world.
Family values.
Exactly. Ruin family values, or that like abortion is a crime against humanity, things like this. They are 100% going to be villainized in history, and yet they cannot see it.
Yeah, I think they'll be villainized. I mean, who knows?
Well, any people in history who've gone out of their way, out of their own personal lives that are unaffected by the people that they're fighting against, they will be in trouble later on. Because when you're going out of your way to fight against people that are not a threat to you in any way whatsoever, that's not good.
It does end up looking, generally the history books are written that way, but I don't know. I mean, I have, you know, these nightmares that it all just gets rewritten anyway. And it's like, you know, they're like, it was wonderful that the pyramids were made, you know. That's what you can do when you have full authoritarian power. You can make these beautiful structures such as the pyramids. And that's why you all are going to get one balance bar a day.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was one Republican who listened to our podcast, just like imagining them feeling frustrated right now. I wish there was one.
What I would say to that Republican is, look, I also think that the liberal left is highly problematic and not like some sort of wonderful, pure thing either. I think that both sides have some real... It's sort of like, when and where and how can people take their own inventory and check in with, are they being kind or not?
Right, right, right.
And that is the thing in this time as we like barrel towards November, that I think is really interesting, and that I think the depersonalization by how we've all become decontextualized from COVID has kind of magnified this neurosis of I'm right, you're wrong.
Yeah. And love that vibe of the I'm right, you're wrong.
It's their faves. It is a big favorite track.
Yeah.
So I think that's, I don't know, that's been kind of compelling to think about in terms of the election. I mean, it was so wild to like read the vitriol from people on the left about Kamala Harris, and you know, intriguing. I was all kind of not surprised, because I remember 2016, and we talked about this last week. We already discussed this. The people being like, I hate Hillary. You know,
there are just
so here
certain things I'm like choosing not to lean into right now in order to just keep my nervous system kind of steady and on the up and up, because to think about people,
You don't have to do it. It's okay. Late. Look, you don't have to do it. We can talk about things that are pleasurable.
Right.
We can talk about like how bizarre QAnon is, or
you know, look, these, I don't like, know enough about it to talk about. I don't know. So it's not.
I don't either.
We could make up a story about it, but you know, I what I do want to talk about are some stuff we've watched. I love watching stuff.
Okay.
And I just finished Love on the Spectrum. I don't know if you watched that.
No, I did not. Did you tell me to?
I don't think so. It happened so fast. I literally turned it on, watched the whole thing, cried a lot. That was it.
Is it on Netflix?
It is on Netflix.
Is it a documentary?
It is a reality show, documentary style dating reality show. With
autism?
Yes, people with Asperger's autism spectrum people.
Cool.
Yes. And it is tremendous. You fall in love with every person on the show. It makes you want to never tell a lie again. It makes you, it's amazing. And the parents are so moving. It is, and there's a woman, Jody, who's a dating therapist for autistic people, and or probably for neurodiverse people in general. And Jody is a hero. She's a saint. She's incredible.
I love therapists. They're the best.
It is such a good show, and
maybe I'll watch it tonight.
Oh my god, I loved.
Maybe I'll watch it tonight.
Yes. And so in the same vein of like not looking towards people fighting against Kamala Harris, I have caught wind that maybe there are problematic things about this show, but I'm choosing not to read those things right now because I'm riding high on having felt good about humanity from watching the show.
Great. I mean, yeah. Well, don't forget, opinions are like assholes. Everyone's got one.
Everyone has one, exactly. And they're all different. Unless you're identical twins.
But even then, they might be just slightly different. I don't think identical twins are identical. I refute that idea, and I believe that there's definitely like some small things that are going to be
different. Identical twins really lean into it and like work towards being identical, and other identical twins just let nature have its way with them, so they end up being different.
Did you ever watch one of these like My Secret Addiction or I don't remember what it was called, but it was these two identical twins who couldn't stand being apart. And
were they male or female or other?
Female. And they couldn't stand being apart. And their friend is like, they're never going to be able to date. They go on a date together. And like, it just doesn't work out.
Wow.
And then they get set up to like one of them is going to spend one night in a hotel. And the crew like films them while they're apart. And they just can't bear it. They're like moaning. They don't feel well. They feel horrible. And then they get to see each other after like a night, they like fling into each other's arms and are like crying and like, we'll never do that again.
Wow. This is a problem that they've created for themselves.
Well, that's what their friend is trying to tell them. And they're like, it's not a problem. This is nice.
Oh, wow.
And I have to say, like, maybe it is nice. Like they like living that way. And I think they're happy.
Well, then they will find somebody who will be into that, to be like a third or a third and a fourth.
Maybe they don't want that even.
Well, like, great. I love that. You know what
I
mean?
I think they've seemed pretty, I think they found like a good container. So I don't know.
I did see twins like that on a plastic surgery show, and I don't know if it was botched, but I'm pretty sure I must have been in a hotel room.
I don't think I can ever really watch those shows. Those spook me out too much.
But these twins were very keen on making sure that all of their surgeries happened simultaneously that they were every like alteration, augmentation that they received would be identical to their sister. And they felt that one of their augmentations had gone slightly off and they wanted to have it adjusted, I think. But I think the doctor was like, I'm not going to do that.
What about couples that like get surgery so that they look the same?
I don't know that.
Do you know about that?
No, I don't know this.
Yeah, there's, I mean, I was like an acquaintance with someone who had that, where, they and their partner, got surgeries to look as similar as possible.
Were these gay people?
One was a female and the other was also female. She's a trans woman. I believe at that point of when they first met, I can't remember the full timeline. Cause I only knew her as a woman. But yeah, that was something that I thought actually was, I thought it was beautiful. I don't have the desire to, but you know what, Reed, if you met someone who looked exactly like you, how would you feel?
That would be horrifying. Kiss? Let me think. You know, I don't know. I don't, when I see movies of myself, absolutely not. I'm horrified generally.
Why?
I don't watch myself or hear myself on camera and think, wow, I'd like to get a load of that. You know, I'd like to give me a taste of that, fella. I'm kind of like, it's okay. At least it's fairly symmetrical. So, yeah, I don't know. Do you think like, I'd love to kiss me?
Yeah, totally. Without even like a pause. Wow. I'm absolutely like, that'd be fun. Yeah.
Wow.
I also like it's also because I'd be like, well, what facet of my personality would be coming forward with that one? Like, what if it was sort of, I don't know.
I also feel like if I were to do like a VR experience and be able to kiss myself or have sex with myself, I think it would ruin, it would make me so self-conscious for the rest of my life. It would be terrible. It's good to like have a certain amount of distance from yourself.
That is, there's a couple of quotes that are like iconically true for your soul. And for you, it's good to have a certain amount of distance from yourself. It's an absolute Reed Bartleby. Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. What? You know, like, I did that? Oh, huh. Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because if you're too aware of what it is that you look like, what you sound like, what you are, then it's too scary to be alive.
Well, because I grew up in the Hollywood studio system and I had to, like, watch myself in the dailies with, you know, MGM. In different movies being made that I was in, like the remake of National Velvet or the remake of Parent Trap, or, you know, I mean, there were so many movies that I was continually in as a child. And I think that having then watched myself on screen so much, both in the dailies and then, of course, the premiere and et cetera, I don't know. MGM taught me how to be a star, and from that is how I lived my life.
Mm-hmm. They taught you how to be the very, very best, most authentic version of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Whatever that is.
What else is happening? Apparently, I'm coming to be with you next week.
It's true. You better not have the COVID.
Well, it's just hard to know in this time.
Well, when will it be 2 weeks that you got off the flight and back to your apartment?
Saturday.
And besides you going out in your hallway last week when I said don't do that without a mask, have you done anything else that seems high risk?
Well, I have. Yes.
What? What have you done?
Well, I've definitely gone to the grocery store.
Yeah, but did you wear a mask?
Of course.
That's not high risk. What else? Do you wash your things when you get them home from the grocery store?
I do not. I've given up on that.
Okay. It's not great.
Are you still engaging in that practice?
Yeah, and if I lived in New York, I really would.
Oh, interesting.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing.
Even when I lived in Los Angeles, I didn't do that. And take a look at me now. You know?
It's true. It's true. It's true. What else? Something more high risk than the grocery store.
Let's see. What else? I've been near people.
Without a mask?
Yes.
Were you closer than 6 feet apart?
No.
Then that's not high risk. Something else?
Well, I mean, I'm not, that's it.
That you're not in high risk. That's all fine. So yeah, Jeremy and I will probably drive down to get you because the idea of you going to Penn Station and then being on the train, going to Penn Station and getting on a train doesn't scare you?
No, I literally got off a plane a few days ago.
No, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, that feels like a few days ago. But also, oh, another high risk. I'm not even going to tell you. I'm going to scare you too much.
Well, no, tell me.
I've been on the subway.
With a mask.
Yes.
Was everyone wearing a mask on the subway?
I have to say, in daylight hours, people are very good in New York. Very, very good.
Have you been on the subway with people not wearing a mask?
No, no, no. But I have seen people in the night on the streets of New York, mm-hmm. fully in crowds without masks. Ugh. I know. Well, you know that now New York in the night has become like a European plaza. Like all the sidewalks are covered in restaurants. Do you know this?
I do.
And so my mind still is like, what's happening?
Look, if someone was to talk about the traits of the human species, patience would not be one of the first 100. We're just not a patient species. Mm. We just can't bear it. And certainly in America, certainly in, you know, the capital of capitalism.
Yeah, I mean,
we just can't bear the idea of not now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's tricky at this point, what I'm realizing is that, yes, the United States responded poorly. People behaved badly.
The worst.
And the virus went crazy. However, now in all these countries where there was a more kind of totalitarian approach of like, you must stay home, you must wear a mask, and people did it, the virus is still coming back. So it is, this is a tricky virus.
But the cat came back.
It came
back. The very next day.
It sure did.
The cat came back. It just wouldn't stay. Oh, wow. Well, I mean, 100 years ago, in the Spanish flu, everyone, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't looked at the timeline, look at it, because it's what we're going to do now. It's called history. And the other thing that people are really incredible at is just forgetting history.
I love it.
It's continuous. They continually just forget it and are always thinking that what they're in is the first time it's ever happened.
Well, I'm so excited for you to educate our summertime listeners. I'm ready.
About what?
About the Spanish flu. I'm ready.
Oh, about the Spanish flu. Okay. Well, the timeline of like when it's going to have its resurgence, or, you know, our next big spike, and any doctor, I mean, most doctors I feel have said this, is going to be in the fall. Mm. It's the same way that happened with the Spanish. I mean, if it tracks the way it happened with the Spanish flu, in the fall is when it will have like a really, really big resurgence. And that is anticipated for when the most, or I mean, if we follow from when that would be when the most fatalities would happen.
Oh, boy.
And then, I mean, do you want me to pull it up?
No, no. I think that that generally is good information just to prepare psychologically.
Let's see. No, but I mean, did you want me to tell you all about the Spanish flu from when I read about it?
No, no. I think that if our listeners need to do a wiki, Google search, they can get the statistics.
It's just... it's all right there. I mean, it is online, baby, online.
How was your day? I had a weird day. I had a very weird day.
Today was good. You know, I hadn't slept the last two nights.
Why?
It was a real, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't, it's like, and that happens to me sometimes. So I probably got like 3 hours of sleep each of those nights. And also in the country, like it is bright at like 5.
Wow.
6. Like the way the sun comes up in the east, here.
But aren't you in that dark room with the dark drapes?
No, no. I've moved in to
Parker's bedroom.
Yeah.
Oh wow, king of the house.
It's what we. Well, I mean, the day she left, we like cried and cried and cried and cried and cried and cried and cried, like sobbed, and then I like crawled into her bed and I was like, I'm just gonna sleep here. And it's sweet. It's really sweet.
And that's where you stayed forever.
Yeah, that's where I stayed forever. So, but also I took the, I'd already taken that, that dark, the, like the sheet out of the window.
Oh.
It's like, there's no blinds anywhere in this house. There's
wow,
no blinds.
What's happened to you? You're changing.
There's no covers. So at like 5 or 6, it's bright. And then I have had so much work to do. I mean, it's like, I am teaching 4 courses this coming semester. And so syllabi planning is a thing. And planning out what's going to happen in like every class and getting that mapped out and getting the things that I want in terms of what we're going to be watching, what we're going to be reading, blah, 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 blah. So that's been a lot. And then getting ready for this, for these music video shoots. And then there is a small doc, like an artist portrait documentary that's happening of me.
Ooh.
This week. I don't know if they want me to say who it's with yet. So I'm not, I won't say the,
okay,
who it is. Okay. And our listeners will find out when it comes out, which I think
Netflix
will be the end of the month. Can you imagine? It's really wild, you guys. But HBO is doing a very small doc on me. It's only going to be 6 hours.
CBS Sunday morning.
I can't say who it is, but it's MSNBC. So, and that, they come tomorrow.
Oh, wow. I hope you have, everything's clean in case they open a drawer.
Can you imagine? Well, I was like, we're shooting this outside. And I'll do, I think a little bit will get shot on the porch. So that is, that's been happening. The shoots that you're going to be involved in are pre-prep, location scouting, stuff like that. And
gorgeous.
Yeah, it's been work. It's been a lot of work, I have to say.
Well, Jack, you better work.
Well, that's truly, this summer has been literally one of the busiest summers, which feels crazy to say because COVID, but like the Guggenheim video, the other video, the like.
The other video? What's the other video?
I mean, it was really fast. I did shoot it.
Jack, I think that you've forgotten about all the days where you slept the entire day. I think you're forgetting.
Oh, I only got to do that for like a week or two. Like my, you know, generally I would think like a summer vacation is like a summer.
You're like, where's my 8-week blackout?
Oh my God. Yes. I also think I just got sort of like, oh, I don't want to do blackouts because life's short. Jeremy and I have been cooking so much.
You're very reinvigorated by cooking.
Making all these meals. I mean, the most incredible bulgogi bolognese with Beyond Burger.
Yum.
It was so delicious. Have that over a chickpea noodle with then a cabbage slaw and toasted ramen and almonds.
I have
delicious.
Trouble believing in alternative noodles unless it's just a straight up vegetable.
Well, you know, here, please give me this ad campaign, Bonza chickpea noodles. they're so delicious. And they come in all different shapes and sizes. So, you know, tonight was like spaghetti with bulgogi bolognese by the New York Times.
Can you believe that I found that photo of Bobby Briscoe and myself?
It's really, I mean, my God, those legs, the two of you.
Red booty shorts.
In red booty shorts, who made that piece?
Well, here's what's incredible. So, like, I purposely did not kind of say exactly what it was. And then Nancy Dalva,
adore.
Did research journalism and incredible. Identified everything about it, including sending me pull quotes from reviews of that dance from 2000.
Read me a couple of the pull quotes about you.
Oh, God. I'm going to have to pull up an email from Nancy. Okay. Okay. Well, at any rate, while I find it, I'll just say I used to do a summer job in Los Angeles with the Rayford Rogers Modern Ballet, which was very strange.
I remember you telling me a story about you in a hot tub, I think.
A pool.
And I think you like made out with some people in a pool.
No.
Or like you didn't make out with some people in a hot tub when you were out there doing that?
Oh, Jack, we'll talk about it later.
Oh, it's not for our listeners.
No, it's not, because it involves friends.
Yes. Uh-huh. It involved yourself. You met yourself and you got to make out with yourself.
My miroir. But at any rate, and that was in 2005 or six. And
oh, God, gross. Those years. That gave me that literally I almost threw up everywhere.
And one of the quotes, the subject of the email that she sent. Oh, no. The first sentence of the email was Bobby Briscoe and Reed Bartlemy swished across the stage with potent urgency.
I love it. Swished with potent urgency.
We swished. Better word. Swished, darling.
Do you know what I immediately like went to? I immediately thought of Listerine.
Ooh.
Because I thought, yeah, you have to potent? Swish it. Listerine. And you have to swish it.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. So thank you, Nancy Dalva, for doing research journalism. I will reply to your email. I haven't yet because I was too stunned. Sometimes there's things you just don't need to remember that specifically. So that happened. Today, the plumber was scheduled. Well, A of all, the super came this morning to look at my kitchen sink because apparently there was a leak downstairs. And I was fully...
How many people are you seeing? You're going to come up here and you're like seeing your superintendent. Plumbers are coming in.
Well, you don't seem to care as long as everyone's wearing a mask.
Everyone's touching everything and you're not washing it.
Well, no, I didn't wash... I did wash my sink after they were done working on it.
All right. Go on.
And so today the super came and then he was like, oh, great. The plumber, he called the plumber on the phone. He said, the plumber will be here in 2 hours. I said, wonderful.
He called the plumber on the phone.
So he said, the plumber will be here in 2 hours. I said, wonderful. So I like, you know, did a little admin work or something. I don't even recall. And then the plumber did not, in fact, come. And I thought, well, I'm supposed to be going to the garment district with Harriet to do some swatching right now. Yet another high risk activity. And the plumber did not come for at least 4 hours. So I didn't go uptown. I stayed home the entire day. The plumber did fix the sink. I have an entirely new faucet and piping under the sink. And and then I did a partial Cunningham class this afternoon. And when you called this evening, I was finishing up Cunningham class. And Banu taught today, which was very extra exciting. She has not taught any of the classes this summer.
I don't understand. I thought Cunningham was at like 1.
It was, but they leave the video up of it online all day.
Oh, okay.
So at any rate, I also have, my meals have been erratic. I've been eating generally 2 meals a day and at any willy-nilly, any which way.
2 meals a day is it. Who eats 3 meals a day?
I do, but just not right now.
I can't do breakfast ever. Everyone knows that. But Jeremy made the most incredible pie. And we've been having that. And he makes fresh whipped cream with maple syrup for it.
Oh.
Can you imagine? It's like a whole new world where we're like cooking these meals. We're following New York Times recipes.
The New York Times app. We're an ad. You guys, will you sponsor us? No, I'm not saying you guys anymore also. I did, but I'm trying not to. Hey, y'all. Use the New York, I can't even say that without laughing, y'all, but I am going to try. Use the New York Times app. It's a cooking app.
I can't believe we're doing, we can't do ads for things we're not being paid
for. Well, I don't care. It's such a good thing.
We don't make any money. We don't make any money from this podcast. It's a labor of love.
It costs only a few dollars a month and it has an amazing interface. You can literally type in like asparagus, maple syrup, and all of the cross-reference recipes will come up.
How wonderful. I know. We did this really great grilled radicchio with sausage. That was great.
Even though meat is really weird. Fun. But yes, grilled radicchio is good.
It was good. It was really good. All sorts of... Have you ever done the thing that Parker got us into making was cowboy caviar?
Never heard of it.
You do your black-eyed peas. And I do black-eyed peas in a different... In like a fast way where I boil them on stovetop for like 40 minutes, leave them there in that hot water for an hour, drain, rinse. Perfect. So you get your black-eyed peas, you get your corn.
Uh-huh.
You do corn, get your corn on the cob. You know, you could grill it and then, or you boil it, whatever you got, take it off the cob. You have your black-eyed peas, your corn, do a bunch of halves of tomatoes, chop up a bunch of onion. If you like cilantro, if it doesn't taste like soap, if you're not one of those people, do that. If you don't like cilantro, don't do it. Maybe you've got some garlic chives, toss those in there. And then do your oil and vinegar and really like more on the vinegar. And you have this delicious corn, black-eyed pea salsa, uh-huh. Basically.
Okay.
And it's called cowboy caviar.
Cowboy caviar. Sounds actually delicious, but also, like, I think the name is misleading.
Well, it's cold and it's like, you know.
It has dark spots.
What's the word I'm thinking of? You know, it's like small balls of stuff.
Is it slimy?
No.
Okay.
Slimy as okra, and we have been doing okra, which I love.
I did see that video of Paige cooking out the slime in okra because she doesn't like the slime.
I'm really here for the slime. I don't mind the slime. The one vegetable that I realized I don't like is zucchini.
Interesting.
I don't like it. It's always like the tongue of an alien. It's not for me.
Well, yeah, like if you eat it mandolined into long strips, yes, it's exactly like the tongue of an alien.
Well, that's what we do. We put it in strips and grill it, and I'm
that's
always like,
not
I don't
right.
Like
you need to eat it in a different way. I'll do something with a zucchini that you'll knock your socks off. We'll knock your socks off. Look, I don't know what it is yet, but there's something. Oh, zucchini bread.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Oh, amazing.
We could also do zoodles.
Yeah, but wait till you try this bonza chickpea pasta. You're really going to lose your mind.
Thank you.
Are we just going to become a chicking show? Because I'd be okay with that.
Bonza.
I mean, all of a sudden, I have felt so activated by meals and like, it's a really great recipe from Parker's mom for these delicious health cookies. And where they're just like oats and almonds. And there's lots of fun stuff to cook and do besides work. That's all my life is right now, is cooking and working.
Well, you sound like a pioneer.
Well, I'm just out here and I feed Rory and pet him. I love him so much.
Now you sound extra like a pioneer. Petting a cow, cooking black-eyed peas, working hard. Working hard.
Tea, absolutely. And like kind of going to bed, you know, relatively early because the sun is up at like 5-6.
I'm a full shut-in. I have no schedule. My food is willy-nilly. I sometimes dance around. Oh, wait, I have another recommendation. I dance around in my living room, my kitchen. There is, Stuart Singer turned me on to an Instagram, what do they call it, Jack? Instagram...
Real?
No.
Story. Account.
Called Social Club New York, NY. Social Club NY. And they have really, really, really fun dance aerobic videos that will make your muscles burn. You need light weights. I used some cans. I used coconut milk. And... And let me tell you what, my shoulders, my triceps, my butt were burning. And it was one of the instructors, maybe the main instructor, Javier, was so delightful, so handsome, so charming, such a good dancer. It was so fun. So everybody, Social Club NY, and, you know, get your
fitness
on.
I like doing... I like doing this YouTube channel. I can't remember her name, but it's a Pilates bar class.
Ooh.
And it's fun. It burns. Parker and I were doing it together.
When things burn, I think, God, I have to stop.
Yeah, I'm absolutely like, what kind of exercise do you want to do? And I'm like, roll on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
Is it standing stretch exercise? I want to lay on the floor like a baby. Totally.
I like to get so kind of like efficient at a dance form that I no longer sweat. And then I can imagine that I'm exercising, even though I'm not at all.
Yeah, I don't like when things sweat. No, I like sweat. I don't like... No, I'm fine with burn too. It depends which one it's burning. Like at a certain number of clamshells, I'm like, I can't.
I really don't like abdominal burning.
What I don't like is having to pick my head off the floor.
I don't either. I like to just, I can look with my eyes. I can look towards
it always my feet. Hurts my neck. I can't get my longest coli on enough.
Yeah, that's okay.
That deep neck muscle. My sternocleidomastoids are always like, I'll do it. It's the same with my gluteus medius. My glute med is like, I'll do it.
I feel like Jeremy's head could come off the floor. It's always in that position.
My Jeremy? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. We'll do some workouts and all of that. And we'll figure out coming and picking you up and stuff.
Okay, well, we can tape some vinyl between the front seats and the back seats like they do in some Ubers now.
Well, I mean, you're going to be living in this house with me and cooking.
You can put me in the art barn and that way you'll feel separate.
I don't know.
I'll go lay with Rory and we'll spoon.
You'll go lay with Rory in the field.
Yeah.
He's so cute. He's such a sweet queen. I love that queen so much. Okay. Well, I have to go to sleep now.
What?
I'm exhausted.
It is 9:35. 6. Congratulations.
Can you imagine?
I love that for you, and I will not go to sleep right now.
Wow. Well, what could I tell you to watch that would make you sleepy?
Did you watch some of What We Do in the Shadows?
Oh, I did. I really liked, I really like Evie.
She's the female? Who's that? Oh.
Evie is, I mean, I love all the female characters.
Is that the woman they turn into a vampire?
No, Evie is the woman who is an emotional vampire.
Oh my God.
So there's the psychic vampire, which is Colin, and then he realizes that there's a stronger force in the office. Mm-hmm. Evie, he places it together, right? Emotional vampire.
We've all known that person.
Many.
So many emotional vampires.
Many, many, many. So good. She really made me laugh. She was so funny. I laughed. I mean, this is such a spoiler for people who haven't seen the show, but when he's like, I don't think I can be with you anymore. And she goes, you can't break up with me. I'll kill myself. And then he's like, don't say that. You have so much to live for in all of this. She's like, I don't. He's like, we'll figure it out. And they hug. And she like looks at camera and smiles. And he's like, you couldn't help yourself, could you? And she's like, I just needed one more taste. And then he goes to walk away. And she goes, Colin, wait. And he turns around and she goes, just kidding. And then she does it another 3 times.
It's so good.
That actress was amazing. She made me laugh so hard.
Also for like that style of comedy, which has a tendency towards kind of like bro-y humor, I find it sort of transcends that through the vampires.
Yes. I am always like, I could have some more female characters. I mean, there's, you know, it's like 4 male leads and 1 female lead. So it's...
Yes, it's true. But the what's his name? The vampire who...
Nandor.
With the familiar. Mandor. He's kind of, you know, other presenting. He's a little bit like gayish, no?
He's... Well, they're all like queer. I mean, that's the thing.
It's They're all queer.
All the vampires are queer. And so, because vampires are.
Oh my God. The episodes with the Baron or whatever.
Uh-huh.
When that coffin opened and that actor was in that costume, I couldn't believe it.
He was really funny. When he looks at the camera and they're like, oh, it's just a documentary thing. It's they're filming me. It's really, yeah, all the physicality. It's great. It's cute. It's a cute show.
Enjoy What We Do in the Shadows, yeah, it's a cute, starring nobody we know, made by who knows.
It's true. It's a cute show. And Evie was really, that was the one I think I laughed at the most.
Yeah, that's a Saturday Night Live actress.
That's right. That's who she is. Yeah.
And she was in Trainwreck. She was very funny in that movie.
Oh, yeah. You know what movie I saw that was not Trainwreck? Was called I'm So Pretty, I think. Or
I Feel Pretty.
I liked that movie.
It's not great.
Well, I saw it in the beginning of Quar, and I...
Oh, I see.
Think,
but it is cute.
I think I was... Yeah, I think I... You're right, it wasn't great, but I think I liked it.
Didn't you love the romantic lead actor, how, like, regular and cute he was?
Oh, my God.
Wasn't he a dream?
Yeah, he was such a dream, and he was so sweet and cute.
So sweet. We'd love him.
Like, they hadn't found, like, such a kind of regular-looking sweet guy since Bridesmaids.
I think that weird character that Michelle Williams kind of invented was too broad. Nope. I did not like that at all.
It was amazing. Michelle Williams, I think, was my favorite part of the entire movie. I, like, her small, strange voice... Just completely.
I didn't like that.
It was amazing. You're wrong. You're so wrong.
I liked Lauren Hutton. I liked that.
I don't
know.
Who's Lauren Hutton?
She's that model from the 70s, 80s who appeared. She's the mom of Michelle Williams.
Oh, right, right. No, she was great too. But Michelle Williams, I loved it. Loved it. Michelle Williams made me laugh so hard.
I love that. Hi. I'm glad that worked.
How are you? Oh, I just don't know. I like that she kept it up.
I'm like unamused.
What do you mean? What's unamused? Well, I know who our guest is next week. I'll tell you about it when you're up here.
All right.
And ladies, gentlemen, other, we loves you.
So much. Thank you for literally listening to us talk about actually nothing. If anyone's out there, I mean, what even?
If anyone's out there, what even? All right. Bye.